All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6 reads this way. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, once again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house. And so, Lord, we call upon you that you would empower our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would be honored and glorified. And again, Lord, that our lives would be strengthened in the faith that you've given to us, that we would be drawn closer to you. And truly, Lord, to be the lights and the witnesses you've called us to be in this dark and dying world. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply Guarding Against Perverting the Gospel. Guarding Against Perverting the Gospel. Tonight we'll notice five truths in our text that we need to consider if we're to guard against perverting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved us. And you would say, well, I would never want to do that. Well, maybe not intentionally, but we can be coerced to perverting or twisting or corrupting the truth that has been delivered to us. Now, one of the things that I'm afraid believers don't understand is, first of all, when you're saved, you're placed in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? When we were baptized, we were buried in the likeness of his death and raised again to walk in the newness of his Spirit. And so we were crucified with Christ, the Bible tells us, to be empowered to honor and glorify him. We live in a battle zone. And here's the battle zone. Ready? The world is dark and evil without the light of Christ. But you have been filled in salvation. God has filled you with the light of salvation. Not only that, but indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But we need to be reminded that the Christian walk is a battlefield. And listen, we need to be moving forward. We're not to sit there and say, well, I'll just wait till God speaks to me and not do anything. No, listen, every day we need to say, Lord, I need you to guide me. I want to walk in your Spirit. If you're worried about overcoming sin, well, the Bible says that God has already done that. Just ask him for the guidance in that and be aware that every step you take, you are in a battle for the honor and glory of God or to be deceived by the evil one, the devil, that would keep us in darkness. Now, he can't take our souls if we're saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're to move forward by faith or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to give us the victory. So, Lord, I'm expecting you today and for the rest of this evening. I'm aware that the devil is out there, the world system is out there, and they're trying to thwart your kingdom. They're trying to cause me to fall. Because if I walk through this life not expecting that, we're an easy target. If we don't realize that God is empowered us to honor and glorify him, and then the God, lowercase g, of this world, Satan, is trying to defeat us. Not for our eternal life, because that's sealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in order to honor and glorify him, to bring light into the dark world that would shed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives to those whom we come in contact. God has not saved us to leave us powerless. God has saved us, listen to this, that he might honor and glorify himself through your life and mine. And now here we have an account of these Galatians that somehow, I don't know, listen, you could just say, well, God's going to take care of it and not do anything. Well, that's not the way it works. God says, I've called you to proclaim my name. I've called you to be a testimony of my grace in your life. And if we're not seeing that, maybe we're not asking God for that. But if we're not busy pursuing the things of God in our lives, mark it down, the devil will be marking us. And he knows those whom he can overthrow. He knows those who are reliant upon the Spirit of God. And he knows those who are just kind of playing games. He knows.
He knows whether or not we're serious about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He knows whether or not we really believe that He can give us the victory. He knows whether or not we're looking to ourselves or whether we're looking to Him. And if we're looking to ourselves, we're going to be defeated because there's no strength in us. So notice what happens to this church here at Galatia. They were genuinely believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been saved by the grace of God. Paul himself was the one who had shared the gospel with them, and great things were happening in their lives. And all of a sudden, there was a negative change. But I want to notice tonight, again, five truths that will keep us from perverting or twisting the truth into a lie. And so the first one we're going to find here is in verse 6. Notice what it says here. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you. The first truth that we need to be considering here is being removed from our Savior. You can be removed, not eternally speaking, but you can be removed from the truth and all of a sudden begin to believe a lie. That's what they were doing. And so here they are. It says here, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So this is another. Listen, just because somebody calls themselves a Christian, there are all different kinds of names for so-called believers in Christ. But listen, if they teach something other than salvation by grace through faith in the Lord or trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life, they're not of the truth. And that's it. Listen, you have a lot of homogenization going on today, and something. Oh, that's good Christian work. You better think again. You better be real careful. There is a movement now, and I don't know if you're realizing it. There's a movement now trying to promote the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to market Christ. Well, I want you to know, Jesus Christ didn't say, go into the world, go into all the world and market Christ. He didn't say that. He said, preach the gospel. And what you'll find that the group that's behind that is a religion that believes you can lose your salvation. It's a religion that believes that you have to go to a man to confess your sins. And that's not what the Bible teaches. And so the devil is out there saying, oh, this will make you feel warm. This will put Jesus in a new light in the world. Well, guess what? Jesus himself said what? He is the light, right? He is the light. And then he says, guess what he said about the world? The world hates him. And so you don't need to market Christ. We just need to preach the truth. And we need to have the Lord live in and through our lives, that the lost, it's by the preaching of the gospel. Amen. That souls will be, not by marketing Christ or some new fandangled type of a program that we're going to do. It's preaching Christ where? In your life. And to those who are around you, and by allowing Christ to live through you. Because listen, if we're failing And we don't have the grace of God and the peace of God and the love of God, and we don't have the fruit. It's amazing here when you consider right here in the book of Galatians, Paul's reminding them. Flip over, if you will, to chapter 5 just for a moment, verse 22. And here's Christ in the life of the believer. Ready? Chapter 5, verse 22 in Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this, love. We don't have anything to preach if the love of God is not prevalent in our lives. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You can call yourself a Christian, but if this is a selective thing with us, well, I'll be kind to this person, but not that person. Then that's not of God. That's something you're... See, God didn't say, okay, now you produce these things. He says, I will do those things in you as you walk with me and as you seek those things. So Lord, I need to abide in you. Go back with me in our text. And we find the first concern is that we need to be aware of the truth is being removed from our Savior to another form of Christianity that removes the grace of God. And then secondly, a perversion of the gospel of the truth, which is really a disqualified gospel that is no gospel at all. Look at verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would, what? Pervert the gospel of Christ. So listen, today there are people that would say, well, listen, it really you don't have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. You could do this and you can do that and you can do the other. Well, that's something in their own mind because it's not in the Word of God. And by the way, that's happening today. You know, listen, don't let it surprise us because the Bible says there's going to be a one world religion. It's going to be a one world religion. And it's going to be headed up by Satan himself. So I suspect, first of all, I believe evolution is of the devil to try to discredit the Lord. But I suspect, this is just speculation on my part, that all of a sudden people are going to stop believing in evolution. But it's not going to be a good thing. It's going to be because Satan wants to be worshipped as God. He's going to try to take the credit. He's not going to say this thing just happened by itself. He says, you better look to me and bow down before me because I'm the Almighty, and he's not. And there's going to be a final battle between the Lord and really, we'll be along for the ride, but the Lord will take care of it. It's already settled. But there's a deception out there. By the way, they're going to see him and they're going to wonder and they're going to say, who's able to make war with the beast? He's got to be God. But he's not. And so we need to be careful concerning a perversion of the gospel. And then thirdly, we need to be aware of accursed ones. Look at verse 8 with me, if you will. But though we, Paul saying this, or an angel from heaven, that's you know what that means? An angel from heaven? In the Greek, that means, guess what? An angel from heaven. So whether he says, whether we do it, or if an angel from heaven came down, then that would be, if an angel from heaven came down and did that, they would be a fallen angel, right? Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So he says, they're accursed. Anybody who preaches another gospel is accursed. Now, I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but if you believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers, like the Mormon church does, and I'm not trying to slam the Mormon church, I am. You know why? Because it's not the truth. So if it's not of the truth, guess who it's from? It's from the devil. Now, I'm not against Mormons. I wish that they would see the light and get saved and have the same Savior that God has graced me with. I don't wish anything bad on a Mormon. What I wish for them is the same thing that Jesus wants for them, and that is for their salvation. I don't have anything against any other faith, the Jehovah's Witnesses that believe that Jesus is a little God. That's not what my Bible teaches. And by the way, listen, God's not willing that they should perish. But they are not the truth. What they're preaching is a lie, and they've changed it. And by the way, I don't know if you know the history, Charles Taz Russell was the founder of the Jehovah's Witness, the Watchtower. And then what he did was, I think somewhere in the 1800s, he predicted the second coming of Christ. And then a few years later, he predicted it again. And they all got up on a hill somewhere, and he never came. And the Bible says if you profess yourself to be a prophet and you proclaim something and it doesn't come to pass, you're a false prophet. And so he's a false prophet that has headed up and begun a false religion. Now, please, I'm not mad at Jehovah's Witnesses. I am appalled by what they teach because it's a lie. But God is not willing that they should perish. I don't want them to perish. But for the grace of God, I was blind to the truth myself. I could have bought into the lie. I could have. I don't have any ill will towards them. God doesn't. And by the way, all of them that are not teaching the truth of the grace of God, God's not wanting them to perish either, but that they should repent. Oh, you don't hear that anymore. That means turn from your direction. Confess that you're wrong, and only God can help you see that. There are people, I'm not wrong. Bless God, I'm not wrong. Well, God's going to have to open up your eyes, or you're going to stand before him and find out how wrong you are if you reject his son. And so, beware of the accursed ones. These are disqualified preachers. Notice this again, verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be what? Accursed. Beware of the accursed ones. They're out there. They're out there, and they're teaching now more than ever that hey, listen, Jesus is not the only way. That's not true. Oh, listen, there's a big one down in Houston, Texas. He was asked by, I can't remember the king, he was a talk show guy. I don't think he's around anymore, but he was asked, now are you trying to tell me that Jesus Christ is the only way? What about Muslims? And he hem-hawed, oh, well, you know, you can look, there's video out there. Now listen, I'm not saying that they're not going to heaven. I'll say it, listen, if you believe in Allah, you got the wrong God. He's not the Savior. There is no other name in heaven or in earth whereby men must be saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we can't play games. Souls are at stake. We can't play games because God's not playing games. He gave us His Son. Listen, He gave us His Son to give us the victory, amen, to give us eternal life, and we need to be walking in that. Lord, today, this day, for the rest of this day, tonight, Lord, I need to abide in You because You are going to enable me to overcome my flesh. There's no good thing in my flesh. God is not wanting me to try to be nice. There's no niceness in my flesh. God is not asking me to try to be kind, to try to be long-suffering, because there's none of that. There's no good thing that dwelleth in my flesh. Is that true? So then I better start looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I'm looking to You to move forward. See, because You've planted me in victory, from victory to victory, to move forward in victory. But if I look to listen, the devil would deceive us. He has me at times that, hey, You love Jesus, so now you're going to do the right thing. No, I didn't do the right thing. I did love Jesus, but in my own strength, I failed God, bless God, and I got up and rededicated myself, and I got up, and bless God, I'm going to get up even earlier and pray more, and I'm going to do this even harder. You know what the problem with all that was? I. And God got none of it. And so now I have to, you know what I do now? Lord, without You, I know I'll fail. I know I'll fail. And I need You to walk in Your grace. And I need You that You might bear Your fruit in and through my life. It's a serious matter that the Christian, the believer in Christ, the child of God has been placed into. There is a war that is raging right now for the souls of men. And God has placed us to be His ambassadors. But if you don't see that you are the instrument, see, here's how ready? It's that person's job. Why aren't they doing this? Why? No. That's not how it works. It's you. Your life must be empowered by the gospel and the salvation that God has already given you to walk in His Spirit. That you might not be dependent upon yourself, but Lord, I need to experience, I need to see Your grace in my life coming out to others. That's not this defeated attitude. Well, I'll just try. That the problem, you know what the problem is? Jesus is not in that. It's so easy for us to just slough off the responsibility to somebody else, but that's not going to cut the mustard when we stand before the Lord. Because we will give an account for who? Our own lives. Not anybody else. And Jesus will say, well, this is what I gave you. What did you do with it? Well, I was expecting somebody else to do something with it. You know, the missionaries overseas. No. And where does it start? Before we start even telling other people about Jesus, let's see Him in our lives. And so as we see the Lord in our lives, then the world will see, and we've got something to tell them about. See, listen, the world is a miserable place. You want to get a good, how would you say, viewpoint of the world? Turn on the news. Are you going to be happy with the news? Any day. Pick any day. Even on New Year's Day. You think that a celebration? Look how many drunk drivers, look how many people die. The world has no good news. So when the world sees the light of Christ, and all of a sudden we see the Lord giving us his peace and his joy, and the world sees that, you know, every time I come around them, something about their handshake, it's the Spirit of God. Something about the way they say hello and have a good day. They've got something. They've got something that I'm missing. They seem to understand what life is really all about. And they're happy about it. Do you know you can have the tiger by the tail in this world and not be happy about it at all. And so God is wanting us to be blessed by him that we might enjoy it and that the world might see it. That we can point them to where the source is at. Well, yeah, I became a Christian. After that, boy, I rededicated my life, and I did this, and I did that, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. Keep it. That's not what the world wants or needs. What do they need? Us or Jesus? All right. Two more thoughts. Beware of pleasing men. Look at verse 10. This is Paul. Remember, they started out right. Now they changed the gospel of Christ. They started to believe a work salvation. Started to look to the law. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So in other words, listen, I'm sorry. You're going to offend people. But those kind of people are offended if you sneeze. You're going to offend people. Those people would be offended if you woke up tomorrow. You're going to offend people. We don't do it in our strength, but by the grace of God, may they see his grace and his love. And may we say that all came from my Savior and not be ashamed. And oh God, give me boldness. My Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed. I can't do that in my own strength. It's not that we become a robot. We have to be engaged with the Lord and be willing for him to lead us. He uses us with your personality. He doesn't just put you on automatic mode. It's a dual walk together with the Lord. But we have to believe that. Last thought. It must be, our relationship with the Lord must be certified by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11 here. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. What they heard from him didn't come from man. And you know what they would say? Yeah, Paul, you got that right. But they're off course now. For I neither received it, verse 12, of man, neither was I taught it, but by what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul got a revelation of Jesus Christ personally. Are the scriptures given to us to show us how to walk? So that wasn't just for Paul. I'm not saying you're going to see something, but the Lord's going to reveal something to you. And it's not just, you know, turn to the first page and read that verse and that's what God's will is for your life. No, he's going to direct you and you're going to know it. Verse 13. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. You knew what I was. And profited in the Jews' religion, verse 14, above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son, where? In me. That I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. It'd be a good thing for God's people to get alone with God. Because if not, we're so full of self, we can't see the Lord. Listen, I can be so full of myself, nobody will see Jesus, not even me. That's the battle. When I am left to my own, listen. How do you think Jesus sees you? How do you think he sees you? Oh, he's so merciful. He's so kind. How do you think he sees your neighbor? Well, bless God, they better get things. No, see? If we got this nonsense going on in our hearts and in our minds, you're not seeing Jesus. And you're missing what he wants to do in your life. Mark it down. God wants to do his will in us. And if that's not taking place, we better get on board with the Lord than ask him to do his work and expect him to do it. So he says, I want you to know I got a personal revelation from the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Was that just for Paul? Or was Paul saying, follow me as I follow Christ? So look at verse 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Drop down to verse 19. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now these things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards, verse 21, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And what did they do? And they glorified God in me. Listen, they glorified God in me. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. That means that other believers and the world ought to really glorify the Lord. Say what you will. The world might say, let them say this. I don't like Christ. I don't like Christianity. But I can't say really. I can say something, but it's not the truth against this believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I may not like them for what they stand. But boy, oh boy, they are truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do that. But God wants to in us. How do we do that? By believing what God has already said, allowing the Word of God, looking at the Word of God and seeing what God says he's going to do for the believer and say, yes, God, you do that in me. Because if we park it somewhere and say, well, look at all that I know, that's worthless. If it's not doing anything for you, save it. It's worthless if it's not changing your... Listen, we're going to be found wanting before the Lord. He's saying, I have given you my son to not just redeem you, but to give you life on this side of eternity. Whose life? Ours or his? Tell me that's not the truth. Tell me that is not the truth. We will be accountable before the Lord with what he has given to us. And if all we're busy about is me and mine and my plans and what I want to do, we're not going to stand very well before the Lord. That's right. For what he's given to us. God is wanting us to touch the world with his light and his spirit in us. And so tonight, God says, listen, God says to his people, seek me. And if you seek me, you'll what? We need to guard against perverting the gospel that God has given to us. He's given it to us to empower our lives now on this side of eternity that we might enjoy the Lord, glorify God, and the world might have a witness of the grace of God in us. Listen, the Lord has a plan for all of our lives. And he wants us to walk in it. And I will remind you, listen, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac came around. That tells me it's never too late. Amen? Never too late. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the reminder, Lord, that it brings to our hearts and minds. Lord, may we seek you like never before. For you, Lord, to fulfill your will, that we might by faith, by trusting in what you've said, that you would change our lives by your grace, by your spirit, that we might be awed, that our families might be blessed, and the world might see you, Lord, in us, and that we might share the truth, and that they might have a desire, Lord, to come to know you as their Savior. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.